you?
No. Is anybody in the room?
No.
Yeah.
Harry used to listen to every one of them.
I've had to edit.
Yeah. It's a routine. I didn't even know it until later in his life. But he set aside whatever it was taped, whichever Bible studies we were taping, he had to check them that day. To find a contradiction. Yeah. Okay, we are going to Luke chapter 12, verse 33. To put it in context, verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is one of those scriptures that have been a source of major controversy since the beginning of the church. Sell all that you have and give alms. It just means then give it to the poor. How could that be? Who would be dumb enough to do that? I was even dumber. I just walked away from everything. This is one of the reasons this whole series of scriptures we're reading is that this is just for disciples. It's not for the regular Christians.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. A regular lay person.
Anybody have any response to it? Just before we go into the details?
Sounds like a good idea.
It's not an idea. It's not a suggestion. Anybody else? Mr. Baljo?
This is for disciples and not those regular Christians?
Well, that's what people say. I don't say that. That's where this scripture and others like it are where this division came early in the church. All right, sell is poleo. It means sell, barter, get rid of. So let's look at a few scriptures. Let's go first to, let's go backwards. Go to Revelation chapter 13. We're looking at the words sell. Talking about the Antichrist in verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead.
Hold on, where are you? Revelation chapter 13, 13.
Are we there?
Bible study.
I just turned it off. Because it, don't start.
You missed that, Gary.
I did miss it.
Yeah, what did I miss?
Didn't miss anything. I just turned my phone off. Again, in verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The only way, again, remember we've talked many times about the English language, that it's the language of commerce or the language of ownership. And if you look at the history of the British Empire first and the United States, it's about ownership. Now, no man might buy or sell, save he have, except he have that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Because buying and selling is the opposite of faith. We're told if you're going to be a believer, to sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Because everyone that's in the business of commerce is deceived and has no faith in commerce. Anybody understand that?
That's a hard one to totally.
Hmm?
That's a hard one to totally understand or accept. Because without commerce, without people who make money, there's no distribution to help the poor.
Except new believers.
Even though I think some of the very wealthy keep too much for themselves, but
well, I mean, it's not. We're not talking about degrees of. We're talking about. You understand that buying and selling, you have to have the mark of the beast to do that. Because it's the antithesis of faith. Is that acceptable, or do you understand that, or is it so you want to discuss it, or it's pretty intense?
Sounds pretty austere to me.
So, is this saying basically saying, no, humans have the mark of the beast? That's the only thing I can imagine. Or else you just don't eat.
Or else you have faith.
And then somebody else has to have the mark of the beast to give you food.
Not necessarily. That's the whole meaning of faith. We don't really understand what faith would look like because we have none. But we know from the scriptures, the Torah, we know that there are many, many examples where God fed his people. Now, again, is that history? I'm just asking, I'm not going to say that you should go on by yourself. I'm asking you to confront this in your own life. We just studied how the raven fed Elijah. We just looked many times at how God fed the millions of people. The water from the rock. I'm just trying to get you to understand what faith is. Again, we believe we have faith, but then we live by no faith. We read that it's without faith, it's impossible to please God, and yet we think we please God with no faith. And a series of unbelievable things, you know, I was ready to die if he didn't feed me. I couldn't ask for anything. And circumstances happened that I don't want to go through all that again, but all I'm saying is that you must confront this as a believer. You have to see where you are. And again, if you say, okay, Father, I understand it, I believe it, but I can't do it. I need your help. But don't justify it. Don't justify no faith. Everybody understand that? Because that's what most of us do all the time. We figure out a way to justify no faith. This should be a topic of discussion. It's not a one-way. This isn't a monologue, or it shouldn't be.
Well, it's very striking, and you brought yourself up as an example, and yet, we buy stuff.
Well, I'm just telling you what happened as a new believer. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm doing it now.
Okay, all right.
I'm not trying to... I'm just trying to get us to confront what the Scriptures say.
All right.
Well, there's buying stuff and there's buying stuff. It's not like any of us are out... We don't have to have the latest toy, the latest electronic gadget, but it's, with me it's cooking gadgets and gear, but, I can survive without the newest blender or whatever, gadgetry is floating around out there. I mean...
Well, I understand
so
that.
It's just, when you say buying stuff, acting or generalizing and saying that we're just running out and getting stuff to get stuff.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying what the Scripture says.
Okay, this is my takeaway from what you said about buying stuff. This is my takeaway. I know what Scripture says. And it's more of a case of we're here, we practice our faith the best we can, and the only thing we can do is that and move on with it.
No, there's one other thing. That's what I'm trying to get people to see. The other thing is you see the Scriptures say this, and so you then say, Father, I can't do this. I need your help if I'm going to do it. You never justify no faith. You don't justify no faith by looking at the world system. We're studying the word sell, where it says sell all you have and give to the poor. It doesn't say sell all you just the, it says sell all. And if you can't do that, then admit it to the Father. We just got through reading. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to drink. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Seek the kingdom of God because the Father knows you have need of all these things. That's faith. All right, let's go next to Acts chapter 4. start in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught or any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and they brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to his need, as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, and thou hast not lied? And thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her, and carrying her forth, buried her and her husband, and great fear came upon all the church. And as many as heard these things. It's pretty intense. The point of it is be open, be honest, never justify no faith. That's the lesson here. Let's go to John 2. Verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that had sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now, the reason that is in there is because now you are the temple, you are the Father's house. You are the temple of the living God. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise or commerce.
It reminds me of when Saul saved the best of the Amalekites, and Samuel came and said, "What is this lowing in my ears that I hear?"
Amen. Now, it's not my business to tell you what to do about these things, but it's my business to make sure that you have the information available so that you can repent. And with that repentance, it's always taking the lowest seat. Never, ever, ever, ever justifying yourself. Is that clear? What, you're musing again?
Yeah, well, if you do find yourself justifying, there's a, it's become too,
it's the biggest tell in the universe to you.
Yeah, you. After all that we've been through, you can't get away with it yourself, much less somebody listen.
You know, that's why it says, "You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is esteemed or highly esteemed among men is abomination to God." Everything in that golden cup that's on the whore of Babylon has is something man wants. So the whole mystery of God is manifested in accepting the understanding of these scriptures without... I did it again. I have this parallel Bible, and I went through and... It's hilarious what the people have done to make this understandable and acceptable unto the human race and the human mind. It's they're doing it in the name of God. It makes me crazy. Now it's easy to look at that and say, "My God, how could you do that?" But then if we justify our no faith, then we're doing the same thing. Let's go to Matthew 13.
No faith is position is forgetting that Christ is in, and trying to make it up somehow. His faith is not something you generate, it's the person of Christ in you. That's your default position. So you don't try and believe.
But again, because of his humility, wherever you're dealing with something, or wherever you're continuing on in the way of the Gentiles, he has to take the lowest seat and let you go on. Until finally, your worst fears will come upon you. So the way of a disciple isn't the way of justifying ever. It's the way of saying, I hear this, I don't know what to do about it, I don't think I can do it without your strength. You know, the whole nine yards we've talked about so many times. But never justify it. Especially don't justify it by comparing with the Gentiles.
Something that we talked about a long time ago, when we talked about the offerings, sin offering get away with sin in a believer.
Unless he's resurrected again. You resurrect the evil one. He is the sin.
I'm trying to guess you get to the point where they're about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and our trials of
yourself.
Examine yourself. That. So all the stuff that's happening, it's like it's either Christ and the seed being proven, or you put it on the Antichrist, and you're now a in, out, in, out, in, out. And it's like, how about just being in?
So that's a great thing. But that means constant repentance. It's not a thing of, oh, I'm sorry. It's not the repentance of the world. It's not giving this thing any more importance whatsoever.
Yeah. And that happens within the framework of each trial that we encounter all day long. We're being
right, because
tempted to draw away.
And repentance is always the only answer.
And going back to the remembrance, I guess, is one way to say it. And so the vibration stops, you know, the wheels aren't falling off the car all day.
Okay, Matthew 13. One parable, verse 44. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Everybody understand that?
It's not fully. Read it again, I didn't fully understand.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Now, the treasure that's hid in the field is Jesus Christ in you. You are the field, you are the dirt, you are the soil. Your mind doesn't know that, but all of a sudden something reveals it to you, and you go and sell all you have to buy the field, but you buy the field without price. The point of it is getting rid of all that you have. That includes all your opinions, all your ideas about behavior. It's bought without price. That's the whole mystery. This is like that, but amen. All right, let's go to Matthew 19. The famous one, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, Turn off the ice machine. You gonna put a clap switch on there?
Got no water anyway.
Yeah, we should leave it unplugged.
All right, but we have to unplug it, but not because we have hot coffee. So you understand, we have to turn the hot coffee back on. And never mind. And the young man said on verse 20, All these things have I kept from my youth. up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, then who can be saved? Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now I believe that rich young ruler was Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. And there's several reasons, we won't go through all that now, but which is the perfect picture of what it means to pick up the cross, your death. Amen? All that he has is this great word, it just means anything that you own. Anything and everything. That includes, you got to understand. Well, let's go to Philippians. Chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found of him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Hallelujah. That's enough for now. Take a big breath.